This morning I would like to tell you to welcome the showers of blessing, even if you get wet. Thank you for your participation in the tithes and offerings. We are working to finish the building next door. We're almost there. But we've got to then have a campaign to try to repair this one. We've got a wonderful coffee shop in there that you can have a shower at the same time. And we've got a few buckets around. So Dorsey was talking about, okidori? Yeah, well, you know, we can just handle these things with some cans around and so on because we're so glad that we have a place to meet. We're so glad that God gave us this building, that it's all paid for, and that it's ours, and we're blessed. We don't owe anything, and so we're blessed to see that. So we just say, okay, Lord, the song says it's a happy day, and I thank God for the weather, whatever it is, you know, whatever it is, that's the way it is. So first time that Charlotte prayed at the meal for my family, my dad asked her to pray, and she was kind of nervous, and she said, and Lord, we thank you for this weather, and it was pouring down rain outside. So honey, you got what you asked for, and so on, but we're blessed. Tomorrow is Memorial Day, and we will be acknowledging the military people that died for their country. I want to acknowledge our military people here this morning. If you're a veteran or if you're doing active service now, would you stand? Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. We honor you this morning. We appreciate this. We must pray. We must pray for our country. Wednesday night, we say, pray that America will turn back to God. And we know that we would not have these freedoms if people had not given their lives for these freedoms. And we're so thankful for what you have done. As it has been announced, tonight at 6 is a special Fiesta Fellowship. I have to think, because one day I said siesta fellowship. And we just thank the Lord for giving us a church that's multiracial, multicultural, in every way, everybody welcome, and we're so thankful. We kind of change things. It's not a service, really. We put tables out. We say, bring your coffee in. You know, as you come in, bring your tacos so you can have enough for yourself and share with somebody else, too. Or whatever you have. I mean, beans are always good, you know. If you don't have anything else to bring, we'll bring un frijol. Okay, one bean. All right. But it's going to be a wonderful time. And Brother Marcos Simpson, Mark, and Sarele Blanco and Marta Simpson are going to be leading worship in Spanish. And it's always better, you know, and in Spanish. And so we're just going to have a good time, very much so. Soy Mexicano en mi corazón. I am a Mexican, okay. So, or Hispano, I better say that. We have some Nicaraguans here, so we better say that. But it's good to be with you this morning. We've been having people say, I didn't get baptized, but I want to get baptized. So we'll have a baptism sometime in June, if you will let us know. And we'll have just a class so that you can understand for sure, and we can understand that you're ready for water baptism. The Bible says repent and be baptized. And I think that's in my sermon somewhere this morning, but we are just blessed to have growth in people's lives, and it's very natural for people to follow the Lord in baptism in water. And so we announce that. Anyone ever heard of Nicky Cruz? Nicky Cruz was the convert that kind of made David Wilkerson into the evangelist that he became, because he was a gang member and he was out to kill David Wilkerson. And David told him, said, Nicky, if you cut me up in 100 pieces, every one of those pieces will say I love you. He knocked on his door at 2 o'clock in the morning. He came to the door and the preacher was there. And he just got so mad at that. He said, I just wanted to tell you I love you at 2 o'clock in the morning. Well, I like that kind of love, but you might wait, you know, a little bit on that for me. But he got gloriously saved. And then they went out to a church service to give his testimony. And Nikki told, after a prayer meeting, Nikki said, "There's two preachers in this car now. God's called me to preach." So his life was changed so much, from the head of a gang to a preacher, that no one could understand it. So someone sent him to a psychiatrist. And they examined him and they said, "It seems to me, Nikki, that you are using God as a crutch." Nikki said, "Give me two of them." And so I want to share this morning about help. You see, if you need a crutch, it's because you need some help. If you need a walking cane, it's because you need some help. If you need a walker, it's because you need some help. Well, I want to share this morning that we have help. We have help from the Lord. That he says, "Give me two of them," or, "We need all the help we can get." Our theme is, there is hope, and there is a sign out front that says Church of Living Hope. And we want to always live up to our name. We want to always be ready to give an answer to everyone that asks us the reason for the hope that's within us. And so we have hope. But also, there is help. In fact, when we began this church, soon to be 25 years ago, October the 7th, 1990, well, we were very sophisticated. We got some meat market paper, and we got some shoe polish, and we wrote on it, "Hope," well, another one, "Help." We put it in the windows there on Urban Street, "Hope and help." Well, I want to tell you, we have both. Here, 25 years later, we still have hope, and we still have help, because God is our helper. And you may be here this morning and you don't even know why you came. It's because you are in need of help. We cannot live this life by ourselves. We cannot live a selfish, sinful life and expect to progress in life. We need help. That's what salvation really is. It's when you realize, I can no longer live it this way. I can no longer live it for myself. I can no longer live a life of sin where that I have to remember every morning what I did the night before. I don't want that anymore. I need help. Well, there's a lot of self-help projects around, the programs you can get into and all of these things, but we know that the only true one is the Helper, the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ, that He is our help. He is our hope. He is our strength. He is our shield, and we have help. My first scripture this morning is in Isaiah 41, verse 10 through 13. Verse 10 says, "Don't be afraid, for I am with you." I am with you. That we are not alone. God is with us. "Don't be discouraged, for I am your God." See, this is what the whole world needs. What this world needs is Jesus. They need the help of the Lord. We cannot do it by ourselves. He says, "For I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand." Now, somebody here this morning needed to hear that. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. Verse 11, "See, all your angry enemies lie there, confused and humiliated. Anyone who opposes you will die and come to nothing. You will look in vain for those who tried to conquer you. Those who attack you will come to nothing." And so the devil's last story has already been written. He loses. Jesus wins. It says, "They will come to nothing. For I hold you by your right hand." Now, that's a crutch if I've ever heard. You know, that's why you need something. That's why we need a rail. We got some new ones coming. A rail to hold on to, maybe coming down those steps. Well, some of them slide down, jump down. But anyway, that I hold you with your right hand. I, the Lord your God, I say to you, don't be afraid. I am here to help you. Wonderful. Emmanuel. God with us, Dios con nosotros, that He is with us, and we have a helper all the time that is with us. "Help me, Lord," is a good prayer, you know, all through the day. Dr. George Wood, superintendent, said that to him the scripture that says pray without ceasing is like a hacking cough. All of a sudden it just comes. You know, and you're there and you say, yes, Lord, help me, Lord. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. And we are able to do that. And he understands English and Spanish and Puerto Rican and Louisiana and everything else. He understands it all. And he says, I am here to help you. And then a similar scripture in Psalm 121, verse 1 and 2. I will lift my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. The New Living Translation says it a little differently. I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? No. It's beyond the mountains. It's not the creation. It's the Creator that we're looking to. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. This morning, I want to preface the ending of the message with the Word of God through the book of John, the disciples that are there. And I want to ask you to try to walk with me as one of the disciples that was there. We have a thing we teach in theology called hermeneutics. Nickname is Herman. Hermeneutics, and what it means is the interpretation of Scripture. How do you take that Scripture and interpret it? And in reality, we have to try to feel these disciples' emotions, their excitement and their fears, their discouragement, their loss of purpose because they thought they had an earthly king coming. Interpretation of Scripture is to take it from the there and then to the here and now and apply it to what truth would do to us today. As we identify with the disciples of Jesus this morning, as we go through the book of John, it'll take me till 3 o'clock this afternoon. No, it won't. Then what we have to realize is that they were just fishermen, tax collectors, sinners. They didn't know the Lord. But they got together. That means that they ate together. They walked together. They slept there by the road, perhaps. And it wasn't just these 12 men. They began to have a team, a support team, that began to walk with them. And some of them were women that were attracted to Jesus' love and his care and belief in him. And they were there. There were people that were traveling there, ladies that were ladies of substance. They had some funds that took care of them. I don't know what they ate along the road, probably fish and rolls or something, but they were sustained. They took care of each other. They were there. And they might not have liked each other. I mean, if later Paul and Barnabas had to part ways and separate, well, I'm sure that those early guys that had just been fishing a few weeks before, that they had some problems with each other. But they were disciples, Jesus called them. They had to learn the discipline. They had to learn how to have a right response to the problems of the world. They were just like us. And yet they were all drawn together when Jesus said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me, and I'll make you. You see, God has a purpose for every one of our lives this morning. And if we will follow him, he will fulfill that purpose in our lives because that's his desire. And they were able to walk together. They were able to see the miracles. And I guess the first disciple that's not one of the 12 could be called Cousin John. John, she says. Okay. Well, I had to do a wedding yesterday without one, so outdoors. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Very good. Thank you. I'm wired up. It's not the electric chair. Yeah, that wedding yesterday was outdoors, so I had to shout pretty good, you know. But anyway, John was a Baptist. And we love the Baptist people, don't we? Amen. He was a Baptist. Okay. John 12:32, and John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, listen, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. This is Pentecost Sunday. Just happened to think I should preach on that. I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. So John was a follower of Jesus. He baptized Jesus, and he even said, you should be baptizing me. I'm not fit to do this. But even though they were cousins growing up, there was something there about this man Jesus that John recognized, that this was the Son of God, and he proclaims it. Then a few days later, Andrew hears about Jesus, and he tells his brother, Simon Peter. We don't have the book of Andrew in the scriptures here this morning. There was nothing written about him, but look what he did. And I challenge all of you this morning. You can be an Andrew or an Andrea, okay? You can be an Andre or an Andrea, however you want to call it. You can be that person that tells someone else. There's some startling and magnificent statistics that says that if each one would win one a year, what that would be in an exponential gain in the kingdom of God. There is somebody that needs your witness. I know some of our students come in and they've got unsaved family, and their greatest desire is to see the family saved. And I tell them, you live a consistent life and they will be saved. God has to do his work. He has to convict them. But the greatest witness is a life that is lived for the Lord. Not just, you know, someone that proclaims it and then falls away, but someone that is faithful to the Lord, and they finally say, I believe that this God is real, because it's real for my brother. It's real for my father. It's real for this person. It's real for my ex-husband, whatever, that it's real. And so we have that, and that's how that Andrew did his part, by telling Peter about Jesus. John 1:40-42. One of the two heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah, translated the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. He brought him to Jesus. When we started the Dream Center, well, I remember that Jason said, we need some Dream Center taxis. What's that? That's your car. That's your van. We need to get things that we can carry people in. My van becomes a pickup. I mean, I pick up people. I pick up things. I started to say junk. I pick up things and everything that comes along. So, but just think about it. And my dad was a pastor, and in my father's church, there was never a church bus or anything like that. But that was the big thing. So-and-so wants to come, but they don't have a car. Well, we'll go get them. We'll bring them in. We will do that. And I believe those people that you bring in, if they will live for the Lord and they'll pay their tithes, that God will bless them, and they'll have their own car, and they can pick up people. They can have their own dream. They can have their own Dream Center taxi. Can you believe that? That's what he did. He brought him to Jesus. The following day, well, Jesus finds Philip, and he finds Nathanael, and all of these began that were following him. They saw their first miracle at that wedding at Cana, and they saw the miracle happening, the multiplication. And at that moment, they begin to see that there's more to this than just the good things that he says. He is a miracle worker. Mary comes to Jesus, and I like to use this scripture if I'm sharing with Catholic people, because they like to hear what Mary is saying. And here's in John 2, verse 4, Jesus said to her, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. In verse 5, his mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. And so that's what Mary says for all the Catholics and everybody else to do. Whatever Jesus says to you, do it. Then you open your Bible to the red letters, and here's what he says. Here's what Jesus says. Here's what Mary said for you to do. Whatever he says for you to do it. These disciples watched Jesus cleanse the temple. And John 2:13, now the Passover of the Jews was at hand. Jesus went up to Jerusalem. He found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves and the money changers doing business. When he made a whip of cords, he drove them out of the temple with the sheep, the oxen, and poured out the changers of money, overturned their tables, and said to those who sold doves, take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise. He said his house is a house of prayer. Amen. Would you join us on Wednesday nights in intercession? We've seen things happen. We've seen the walls come down. We've seen people set free because of prayer. And it is a house of prayer. But they saw Jesus in a different light. He was not just that sweet, smiling one. He was a God of judgment as well. And he is. And he will judge us. They heard him tell Nicodemus that he must be born again. And that otherwise he cannot see the kingdom of God. They were shocked at Jesus talking with a Samaritan woman because they had nothing to do with the Samaritans. They would even go through Samaria because of the prejudice that was there. I just want to tell you something. Let God cleanse you of any prejudice that you've got in your life. He created everyone equal. They're all precious in his sight, and we are his children. And that's what heaven is going to be like. Every tribe and tongue that would be there. The gospel is for everyone. We've been called to take it to everyone, everywhere, that they might get to know what this is all about. John 4:28, the woman left her water pot, went her way into the city and said to the men. Yeah, she was a sinful woman. The men knew her. So she went to the men. Come, see a man who told me all things I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to him. Again, this one convert that Jesus appeared to, and that she saw that he knew everything she had ever done, and she turned to him. Then she went, and then they came out. You see the progression of the gospel when we accept the help and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives to go out and do the work for him. They continue to see his miracles. The nobleman said, can you come down before my child dies? And Jesus said, go your way, your son lives. And for that very moment that he said that, the child got healed. And they came back and they said, your son lives. You remember the story of the lame man at the pool where that he said, Jesus said, you want to be made well? And he needed crutches. He was lame. And he said, sir, I have no man that comes in when the waters are troubled. I have no man. Now just let that ring in your ears. Why are people not being converted? I have no one to tell me. I have no one to reach out to me. I have no one. You know the biggest lie the enemy puts in our hearts is that they don't want it. They may not be saying hallelujah, Honolulu, or whatever, you know. But they have a need in their life. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And sin is miserable. Pleasure of sin for a season, but the consequences come in. So Jesus walked up to him and said, rise, take up your bed and walk. I'm sure it wasn't furniture like Randy Taylor sells, but it was a little cot or a little bedroll or something. Immediately the man took up his bed and walked. They saw that. The disciples saw that this was a miracle worker. They saw that when the crowd was hungry, that Jesus said, you feed them. They said, we can't feed them. We go and just buy all the money we got. We'll just give them, you know, a bite maybe. And he said, have the people sit down. Little boy has 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he just began to break it. And when he broke it, well, there was a full one in his hand. He broke it and he gave it. It says that they took the loaves when he had given thanks. He distributed them to the disciples to those sitting down. Likewise, the fish, as much as they wanted. That's what we want tonight, guys, as much as they want. Tacos, enchiladas, tamales, all of that good stuff. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost. That's a promise that God wants us to have for our lives, that our fruit will not be lost. The fragments will be gathered up, that there will be fruit that is there. They saw him heal the blind man. That unconventional medicine, he spit on his hand, put some mud, and put it on his eyes. Don't try that. But it worked for Jesus, and the blind man was healed. They saw that. They saw the sorrow of Mary and Martha, saying, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. And Jesus said, he will live. Yeah, I know, in the resurrection, but we're sad now. And Jesus walks up to the tomb, says, Lazarus, come forth. Someone said, if he hadn't said Lazarus, everybody's dead would come forth, because it's the power of his word. Lazarus, come forth. And he who was dead came out bound, hand and foot, with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Would I be off very much if I said that every person that's born again is another resurrection? They're dead in their trespasses and sin, and Jesus calls them to himself, and he says, come forth, and they're alive, alive, alive. It is not just a matter of saying a few words. It's when the Holy Spirit comes in and convicts that person, and they're alive. That's why we have baptisms, because we take that person and bury them, and then we bring them back up as a new creation in Christ that is there. That from that day on, they plotted to put Jesus to death. Jesus couldn't walk openly with the Jews. He went into the country near the wilderness, near Ephraim, remained there with his disciples. So they saw that maybe it wasn't going to work out like they thought. There were storms coming. In fact, there was a storm on the water, and Jesus walked on that water in the midst of the storm, in the midst of those choppy waters. He walked, and they were afraid. They were in the boat. He came to them. He said, it is I. Do not be afraid. You see, he will take care of our fears with his promises. The word is within us. Then they willingly received him into the boat. Immediately the boat was at land where they were going. Not only did he stop the storm, but he put an accelerator somehow on that boat, and it was at land already. During this time, these disciples heard his messages, like in John 6 when he said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. And they heard his messages about that he was the bread of life that was given. Heard his message about that he was the true vine, like I preached a few Sundays ago. They heard that he had a shepherd's heart, like in John 10 when he said, I am the door of the sheep. Whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door, he says. If anyone enters in by me, he will be saved. He'll go in and out and find pasture. Then the famous scripture that I like so much, I like them all. The thief does not come except to steal, kill, and to destroy. I've come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And I would just add this morning that on this day of Pentecost that the baptism in the Holy Spirit is part of our abundant life. The blessings of God, the healing of our bodies, the forgiveness of sin, all of these things, it's part of the abundant life that he promises. He said, I will give you abundant life. It will be there for you, life more abundantly. These disciples even saw that Jesus was rejected by others, and they felt that rejection because they were part of him, and they felt that rejection even by his own brothers. In John 6:66, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. You see, they liked the loaves and the fishes, but when he began to talk about truth, when he began to talk about what it's going to mean to follow him, it's going to mean to give their life for him. It's going to, which eventually they did, except for John, and he was boiled in oil, and he was put on the Isle of Patmos, where he got the revelation that we have. But they all had to literally give their life. They were martyrs for him. But the message was, take up your cross and follow me. Even that means forsaking mother, father, brother, sister, house, land. That he said, I will give you mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, houses, and land. And I've seen that happen. But we recognize that his brothers also did not follow him. And he said to the crowd that went back to follow him more, he said to his 12, do you want to go away? Will you also go away? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we've come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. John 7:3, the brother said, depart from here and go into Judea, that your disciples also may see the works you're doing. They were looking at it from a fleshly standpoint. For no one does anything in secret while he himself seeks to be known openly. Jesus did not want to be known openly. He wanted to give his life on the cross for our salvation. If you do these things, show yourself to the world. It says, for even his brothers did not believe in him. Later they did. Then these disciples hear that he's planning on leaving them. The Pharisees heard the crowd murmuring these things concerning him. John 7:32. And the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Then Jesus said to him, I shall be with you a little while longer. Then I go to him who sent me. You will seek me and not find me, for where I am, you cannot come. You see, at this moment, they begin to fear that they had discovered something following Jesus, that it was going to be taken away from them. It was not going to be permanent. He was not going to be an earthly king. But you see, Jesus knows. He knew their fears, and he knows our fears. He knew they needed help, and he knows that we need help. As they followed him, they saw his mercy when they were going to stone this woman for caught in the act of adultery. And he went up there, and he said, he who is without sin, cast the first stone. And all of a sudden, he said, where are your accusers? She said, there are none. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Now go and sin no more. And they saw his mercy, and they saw her salvation because she repented. There is no sin that God cannot forgive because his blood covers it all. But we have to be willing. We do our part. He's going to do his part. Yes. Yes, he was leaving. He predicted his departure. John 8:21, I'm going away and you will seek me and you'll die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. So the Jews said, will he kill himself? Because he says, where I go, you cannot come. He said to them, you're from beneath, I'm from above. You're of this world, I'm not of this world. Therefore I said to you that you'll die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. So he was talking about that he was getting ready to leave. In chapter 12, he talks about his death. In verse 4, one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, why is this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? He wasn't really interested in the poor. He just wanted the treasury. Later, he would sell Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. But this lady had come in to anoint Jesus. He said, not that he cared for the poor because he was a thief and had the money box and he used to take what was in it. Verse 7, but Jesus said, let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always. And so then comes the triumphal entry that we talked about on Passion Sunday. That was when Jesus entered in that coming to Jerusalem. They took branches of palm trees. They went out to meet him. They cried out, Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. So they were saying, is Jesus really going to be the king? That's what the crowd is saying. But everything turned very quickly. And Jesus says in verse 27, now my soul is troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. You see, he was the Son of God. He is the Son of God. In John 13, he washes the disciples' feet. He humbles himself and washes their feet. And that's what we're to be as servants to one another. Servants to one another. Your leaders are to be servant leaders to serve you. Then in John 7, verse 37, came the promise of the Holy Spirit in other places as well. In this scripture, it says, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. Future tense. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. John 14, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. I will pray the Father, and he will send you another helper. I began the message this morning saying, we need help. We have help. We have a helper. He says, I will pray the Father. He will send you another helper that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. There's a difference between him being with us and being in us. And that's what we desire more and more of God. And it's not a one-time transaction. It's a continual situation saying, fill me, Lord, lléname, Señor, that we would have the Lord not only with us, but in us. Then he says, I will not leave you as orphans. By this time, these disciples were feeling like maybe he's gone. What are we going to do? We're just his children, and we're going to be like orphans. He says, I will not leave you like orphans. I will come back to you. I will come to you. And that's what the Holy Spirit promise was all about. He promises another helper in John 14, 26 again. But when the helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. It says that we have a helper that is there. From the Father, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you just say out loud, I have a helper. I need a helper. Yes. Now, in the Amplified Bible, which is not really a translation, but it's more like synonyms. Is that right, Charlotte? But the Comforter, Counselor, Helper, Intercessor, Advocate, Strengthener, Standby. You like that? That's who we have. When the helper is come, the comforter, the counselor, the helper, the intercessor, the advocate, the strengthener, the standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place to represent me and act on my behalf, he will teach you all things and will cause you to recall, will remind you of, will bring to your remembrance. Well, that's a great asset of abundant life, that the Holy Spirit will help us remember. Anybody ever forget anything? One guy was trying to describe it, and he said, I can't remember things anymore. Says he will bring it back to our memory. I know that Charlotte and I have actually experienced this, where that we've lost something, and we say, Lord, show us where it is. And I tell her all the time, it's the last place you put it, and it's the last place you'll look. But I lose things too. We thought that she had lost all of her rings, wedding rings, engagement ring, the whole thing. And we prayed, and they had fallen into another suitcase or something. It was there. You see, he says that he will bring things to our remembrance, everything that I've told you. So these disciples had been given the gospel. They'd been given instructions to take his place on earth. You see, that's who we are. And that's how that the gospel, praise the Lord, is every century since the first century. It has progressed. It has had people that would believe. It's had people that will go out, just like our ladies, are they gone to prison this morning? To go out and to share the news again, and that we are able to have that continuation of the gospel because that he puts it in us, and we hear it, and we obey it. And those disciples, if you're going to walk with them this morning, they had to remember those things. It was the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit that called the gospel writers. That red in your Bible, if you got red for Jesus' words, they didn't have a cassette recorder. They didn't have an 8-track. They didn't have a smartphone. I heard one guy say, I've got a new one. It's called a MyPhone. It still has one of these on it, you know. But the Holy Spirit brought back to their remembrance the exact words of Jesus. Do you have any trouble believing that? I don't. I believe the Word of God is true, and we can take it for what it says, and we can live by it. And if you don't do it, it's a violation of the principles that He set for us. If you do it, you'll be blessed to be able to follow the Lord in His Word. Amen. Let the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway. The work of the Holy Spirit. John 16:5. But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. And so it was in God's plan that he would present himself to the world. He would give his life on the cross of Calvary. He'd be raised from the dead. He would be seen for 40 days. And then he would be ascended into heaven. And then for the next 10 days that they would seek the Comforter. He said, I will send the Comforter to you. He said, I know that sorrow fills your heart, but it's to your advantage that I go away. If I don't go away, the Helper will not come. But if I depart, I will send him to you. When he has come, he will convict the world of sin. That's one of the works of the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit, to bring conviction. And that's what we hope happens this morning if you're walking in sin. And of righteousness, of judgment, of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you'll see me no more. And of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Verse 19. Now Jesus knew that they desired to ask him. And he said to them, are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said? A little while you will not see me. Again, a little while you will see me. Most assuredly I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You'll be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. A woman, when she's in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. When we have that Holy Spirit within us, there's joy. There's an evidence of joy that is there. There's an evidence of love. Love, joy, and peace inside of us because that Helper has come. That Comforter has come. It says no one will take your joy away because we have that also that promise that he's coming again. In John 17, Jesus prays for himself. In John 17:6, he prays for his disciples. In 17:20, he prays for all believers. In John 18, verse 8, he said, I've told you that I am he. Therefore, if you seek me, let these go their way. They were arresting him. That saying might be fulfilled. Of whom you gave me, I have lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword. You know, this is the guy that was always big mouth and later would deny him. He drew it and struck the high priest's servant, cut off his ear, a man named Malchus. Jesus said to him, put your sword into your sheath. Shall I not drink the cup which my Father's given me? So Jesus puts the ear back on. Then he's arrested and Peter denies him. We see the king on the cross. We see him saying, "It is finished." We see him giving his life's blood for our salvation. He's given his life's blood for our healing. He's given his life's blood because he knows he's going to send us some help. And then he is resurrected from the dead and he appears. And John 20, verse 19 through 23. That same evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. So think about it. Think about what they're doing here. Jesus came and stood in the midst of them and said, "Peace be with you." Shalom. Paz. Pace. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace be to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." There's a song that says, "So send I you. I also send you." So there's a command here for us today. When he had said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive sins of any, they're forgiven. Retain sins, they're retained." Just moving to the guy that wrote Acts also, Luke 24:49. "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." They were commissioned to tarry, to wait for this gift that was coming upon the whole world, that they were going to be the first ones to receive, the first of many. Acts chapter 1, 4 through 8. "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me.'" Waiting can be a difficult time, but I believe that during this waiting that there were some things happen. Those disciples that kind of had some grievances, some bitterness against each other, they had to learn to forgive. They had to realize that he's gone, but we're going to have to take up this message and take it to the world. "For John truly baptized with water, but you should be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?' He said to them, 'It's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. Only the Father knows when the end of the world is.'" But I want to challenge you today that it's closer than it's ever been. And that we as believers, we are going to need help like we've never needed before. We're going to need the helper to be with us, to guide us, to direct us, and we're going to need one another. This is not a Lone Ranger situation. We're members one of another. He said, "It's not up to you to know the times of the season. The Father has put in his authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." I've been at some places in my travels that it looked like the end of the earth. But he definitely is there for everyone, everywhere, to come to know him. And the gospel works in every culture. It works in every situation. In verse 12, we call it the upper room prayer meeting. "So they returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. When they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying." Jody and I were there together. We even prayed for each other in that upper room. At least they said that's where it was supposed to be. They entered in and went to the upper room. Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon the zealot, Judas the son of James. These all continued with one accord and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. See, there had been some reconciliation take place. Their eyes had been opened. They believed in him. They believed in each other. And they were able to come to one accord. There's power in unity. God hates the sowing of discord among brethren. And I just thank God for the unity he's given us these 25 years here. that we've been able to love each other, and we've been able to have a voice to the community saying there is hope. They continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. And then chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, they'd been waiting. Maybe you've waited for that helper. Maybe you've waited a long time for that need to be met. And you would love for it to be suddenly. Sometime we have to wait longer. God will not tell us why. He does not have to explain. But He is God, and it's always what is best for us. His love is an agape love, and He's choosing what is best for us. Our love for Him should be what is best for Him, what is best for one another, what's best for His creation. That would be the case. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven. It says it was a sound. So it might be like a sound that people hear, like that thunder and that sound of wind blowing. You hear that sound like in a hurricane or a tornado. There was a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. So it was an alarm that went off. It was a signal that went off that said there's something getting ready to happen. I want you to always be ready. Have your ears attentive to the sound of God, to the sound of the Word, to the sound that says you can make it, you can go on because I am with you. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. Think about the scriptures we started with, that He will give us His strength. He will give us His help. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, that we can make it because that signal has been given there, and something's getting ready to happen. Something's getting ready to happen. That signal was there, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them divided tongues as a fire. So this was not something they just heard, something they saw. They saw this fire setting up each of them. And then suddenly, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This was Pentecost. This was the fulfillment 50 days after the crucifixion, 50 days after the resurrection. Here comes the Holy Spirit. Peter standing up. I like to preach on Peter, his call, his fall, and his fire. He messed up. He messed up. He denied the Lord. I used to say that he was even a hippie. He said, man, I don't even know him, you know. I don't even know him. He messed up. But here, he had been renewed, refreshed, empowered. He was no longer somebody that would deny the Lord. He stood up, it says, with the 11. And he said, repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. 2:38. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off. Tell me, is that 2015 or not? Do we have an ever-present God that is here to meet our needs today, to fill us with His Holy Spirit? As many as the Lord our God will call. We're going to not just be one of His disciples today, but we're going to be part of the upper room. I want you to see what I found for us today. We can put that on. We're going to actually see a Pentecost take place. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we have helper. We have help. We have strength. We're able, O Lord, to handle whatever life comes our way. We're able, O Lord, to see it happen. Blessed be the name of Jesus.
Before His ascension, Jesus told the disciples to remain in Jerusalem until they had received power from on high. So for 10 solid days after the ascension, the disciples are meeting and praying.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name.
Your kingdom come.
Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread.
In the filling up of the day of Pentecost, that's the literal translation of Acts chapter 2, verse 1. In the filling up of the day of Pentecost, the Spirit came and they were all filled with the Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit caused them to speak forth. Certainly the wind and the fire are visual symbols of how the Lord was going to take the disciples and, like a mighty wind, push them into the far corners of this world and have a passion in them, a fire in them, to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Now we can leave this place. Now spread his word.
Immediately it leads to a powerful witness where 3,000 persons come to faith that day. As we celebrate Pentecost today, we expect the miracle of Pentecost to be replicated in our lives personally. And the reason for that is that we might be empowered and emboldened to bear witness to Jesus Christ in this world.
You watched him being tortured and killed.
You think he's coming back?
I know he is.
The tomb is now open and the Nazarene is gone.
Amen. So what does that mean? It means that we get that help that we need, and now we can go. Now we can go into the world. We can go and we can have that hope and that help that he gives. I want the keyboard player up here, and I want our prayer team to come. I want to offer you some help this morning. Some help from the Lord that maybe you've never been born again. These people can lead you to the Lord. Maybe you want to have a filling of the Holy Spirit or a refilling of the Holy Spirit, a mighty baptism of the Holy Spirit. Maybe this morning you are here and you are in need of strength. You're just saying, I need that helper. The scripture says that we too will agree that we'll pray with you. Would you stand with me, please, this morning? I'm going to pray, and as I pray, I just want you to start coming up to receive the help that is here from the Lord. Receive your helper today. Receive your strength today. Father, we come before you now, and we thank you, God, for your word. And how that you prepared those disciples. And they actually felt that vacancy. They felt that loss in their lives. Which meant, I'm empty and I need to be filled. Lord, I am weak and I need strength. I need you, O Lord, in my life. And I ask you, God, this day to bring help this way to each individual, Lord. Lord God, we ask you to let your Spirit now speak to each one of us, and that no one would leave without you doing what you've been wanting to do and what you had planned and purposed for this hour today that we spent together. Lord Jesus, we ask you to touch lives today, to bring forth hope, bring forth help. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. So as you have that need this morning, we'll come forward and let us agree with you. If the lines go all the way out the door, we'll wait. Let God touch you today. Let God speak to you today. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be God our Lord. Thanks be unto God. Thank you, Jesus our Lord. Praise your name, God. Come to the Lord. Come to Him. Come to the Helper today. Come to the Baptizer today. Come to the Savior today. Come on. Brother Don, would you join us up here? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, we pray you today. Oh, God. Has there been any hunger put in your hearts this morning from the Word of God? You recognize your need. You recognize that He's the need meter. That Jesus is the answer for the world today, and He's your answer for today, today. Let there be a time where there's a reaction to the Spirit of God in this place. Holy God, we pray. Touch the people today, Lord. Oh, my Lord and my God, we cry out to you today, oh God. Lord, you are our strength. You are our salvation, Lord. You're our Savior. You're our baptizer. You're our healer today, Lord. Lord, let your love come into our hearts today. That the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. Lord, convict sin today. Bring forth salvation today, Lord. Touch your people today. Touch them, O God, with your love. Touch them, I pray, O God. Touch them, I pray, O God. Touch your people today, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh, yes, God. Touch, Lord God. Jesus, I pray. Jesus, I pray, oh God. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, touch us, Lord. Touch us, Lord. If you say, well, there's too many people up here, well, then just pray there where you're at. Get someone beside you to agree with you. These are believers. These are people that will help you all around you. Lord God, we pray, Jesus. Touch your people today, Lord. Touch your people, Lord. Help us to walk in the light as you're in the light. Walk in the light as you're in the light. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Touch, we pray, oh God, this day. Cry out to you. We cry out to you, our helper, our God, our King, our strength, Jesus Christ, resurrected, baptizer. He went back to heaven and He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, His position, His place. And then He sent down His Holy Spirit to be with us. Oh, fill us, Lord God. Fill us anew and afresh. Let it come, Lord. Let Him come. Thanks be unto God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, who was and is to come. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord. He will receive the Holy Spirit unto you this day, O God. Blessed be the Lamb of God. Blessed be God, the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Fill us this day, Lord. Touch us this day, God. Send us, Lord. As the disciples said, now we can leave this place because we're equipped. We're ready. We're ready to go. Now we can go. Now we can go. Now we can go and tell it. Now we can go and show it. Now we can go and share it. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, we pray. Touch your people here today, Lord. Let it be, my Lord. Let it be, my Lord. Come forth by your Spirit.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence.
Yes, Lord, we welcome you, Holy Spirit. We welcome you in this place, Holy Spirit. We welcome you. Jesus, our Lord.
I've tasted and seen,
yes, oh God,
of the sweetest, yes, of loves, where my heart becomes free,
yes, Jesus,
and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord.
Thank you. I forgot my water down there. Sing it.
Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord.
If you're feeling this morning, I need to go up there, but something's holding me back. The disciples had fear too, but you can overcome that fear. God wants to meet your need.